All right, our guest speaker this morning is Jonathan Phillips. And Jonathan is from York, Pennsylvania. He graduated from Eastern Nazarene College in 2003, graduated from Nazarene Theological Seminary in 2008. Jonathan has been in Romania since 2009, and he's actually from a neighboring district in Pennsylvania, the Mid-Atlantic District. He was ordained 2012, and also he wanted me to share with you, he was here back in 2012 and 2014 downstairs for breakfast, and he said that we have finally let him break free from downstairs to be up here with us today. So without further ado, Jonathan Phillips is going to come share with us about Romania.
Good morning. It's good to be here with you upstairs and to share a little bit about what is happening in the country of Romania. It's been good to see the pictures from, I guess that was from one of the Working Witness teams that was in Romania from this church a few years ago. I was commenting just now that some of those buildings have been repainted and some of the streets have been repaved. So it's nice for me to see, to be like, oh yeah, that's what it used to look like. I'd like to share an update of what's happening in Romania since I was here last and since some of you have been there on Working Witness teams. Let me begin just by sharing a little bit about the country of Romania, because not all of you have been there, and you don't know very much about the country. It's a beautiful, beautiful country in southeastern Europe, and one of my favorite things about Romania is that you can be driving pretty much on any road like this one, and up on the hill there's a fortification that dates back to the time of the Middle Ages. There's castles that go back to the 13, 14, 1500s. There are churches that go back even before the time of the Protestant Reformation. So there's always something to look for. Romania has such a long history. It goes back even before the time of the Roman Empire. I live in Transylvania. If you don't know anything about Romania, you've heard of Transylvania. I live in the town of Sighișoara, which was settled in the 12th century and is now one of the best preserved citadels, walled cities in all of Europe that people still live in. So I don't live actually in the walled city. I live right outside of it. But because of it's one of the biggest tourist attractions in all of Romania, because people come from all over Europe and really all over the world to see this preserved walled city from the Middle Ages. Christianity has played a large role in the history of Romania over the centuries. Most Romanians consider themselves to be part of the Romanian Orthodox Church, although ethnic minorities, tend to belong to other churches. Now, Hungarians to the Roman Catholic or Reformed churches, and German Saxons to the Lutheran Church. The Church of the Nazarene entered Romania in 1992, and in these last 20-some years, the church has grown, although slowly, compared to some other parts of the world. That's due partially because of the Orthodox influence in the country. There's a lot of suspicion to other groups that come in, but we have three local churches established in Romania, and we have work that is happening in other towns and villages, six other towns and villages that we're hoping that those will develop, maybe not all of them, but at least one or two or three of them in the next two or three years into official church plants. As I was thinking about the message to share from Scripture with you this morning, I was reminded of the words of the Apostle Paul in his first letter to the church in Corinth. You can turn with me, if you would like, to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. This is where Paul is writing about the different roles that different believers have. He calls them spiritual gifts, places of service within the church. Let me read verses 4 through 7 of 1 Corinthians 12, and then we'll read a few verses a little later. Beginning in verse 4, "Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of services, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, But it is the same God who activates all of them in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Paul reminds the Corinthians and us today that although we have different areas of service and different gifts, we have the same Spirit that's working in and through us, and that our goal is the same. It's not to think that what we do is more important than what someone else does, or that we have nothing to contribute, but rather our goal is to work together for the benefit of the whole church, as Paul says in verse 7. Now, although Paul is writing to and about one local congregation many centuries ago, I believe that his words are applicable to the global church of today as well. Sometimes when we talk about missions in the church, there's this misconception that missionaries are the only ones with a significant role to play. But Paul's words here remind us that we serve in a variety of different ways. Starting down in verse 12, he gives the illustration of the different parts of a body working together. Let me read verse 12 and then verses 14 through 18. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. Indeed, the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot would say, "Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body," that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear would say, "Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body," that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. This morning, I would like to emphasize that we are all part of the same body. You're probably expecting me as a missionary to share about what I'm doing in Romania, or maybe to bring a report of what Romanian Nazarenes are doing. But what I've actually decided to do today is something maybe a little different. I've decided to share what you are doing in Romania. The title for today's message is Mulțumesc, the Romanian word for thank you. I would like to thank you for the ways that you are supporting the Church of the Nazarene in Romania through your giving and your praying and your encouragement. First of all, let me say Mulțumesc. Thank you for giving to the World Evangelism Fund. Every Church of the Nazarene around the world contributes to this fund, which really provides the financial backbone to missions all around the world in the Church of the Nazarene. Now, there's a lot that I could say about how that's being used in Romania, but I want to narrow it down to two specific areas and talk about those. First of all, the first way that you're giving to the World Evangelism Fund is making a difference in Romania is by providing theological education. Now, it used to be that for years, we would send students from all over continental Europe to the campus of European Nazarene College on the German-Swiss border, and people would come there, they'd study for several years, they'd get their degree, they'd go back to their home countries and minister, and EUNC, European Nazarene College, just celebrated its 50th anniversary. So many people have been trained that way over the years that are now serving in Europe. But there were a few disadvantages as well. The classes were in English, and many of the people came from non-native English-speaking countries, so they had to learn English in order to study at EUNC. And because they were kind of uprooted from their homes, they were taken away from ministry in their local context and then were dropped back into that after a few years. So over time, EUNC developed extension learning centers so that way students could learn in their native languages and be connected to their home churches, keep a job, keep everything there at home, and really be involved and grow there in their home churches while being trained for ministry. Well, those extension learning centers really grew in popularity and enrollment increased, but the enrollment on the campus started to decline. So 5 years ago, the leadership of the college took the rather bold decision, I think a wise decision, to close the campus, to eventually sell the campus, and to focus all their resources, all their time, on developing the learning centers. So now there are 47 teaching locations in 17 countries that serve over 200 students throughout Europe and the former Soviet Union. This would have never been possible if we had stayed with the campus model of education. In Romania, we have 15 students who are taking classes through European Nazarene College. Each of the three churches is pastored by a Romanian who holds a district minister's license and is taking classes through EUNC preparing for ordination. This fall, while I'm spending 3 months here in the U.S., the students are taking two classes. The one for September and October is on the Synoptic Gospels, and then in November they'll be taking a class on Christian theology. In the spring, they had a class on Christian worship. This is the students gathered in the Sigishwara Church, and up on the wall, you can see the video projection. It's not just the PowerPoint, but it's also video conferencing because the students in Bucharest are 5 hours away. And so it's hard to get everyone together every weekend for the class. So we use a lot of technology to keep our students together. One of the more recent developments in theological education in Romania is that this spring we set up a theological library for our students. And as you can see from the picture, when I say we, I mean me. I spent several weeks cataloging the books we have and looking up Dewey Decimal numbers, buying books, making spine labels. They like to give me the fun jobs. And this is the finished library in Sighișoara. Because we have students in Bucharest as well, we needed a library for them, so I got to do it twice. Here's our library in Bucharest that we set up. Because you give to the World Evangelism Fund, our pastors have access to theological education in Romania through European Nazarene College. And because you give to the World Evangelism Fund, we were able to set up, use that money to set up the libraries in Bucharest and Sighișoara and purchase books in Romanian for our pastors and students to study. And we will receive money each year in a small budget to keep adding to that collection. Mulțumesc. Thank you. Sometimes as we're picking out books for the library and thinking about textbooks for classes, we find excellent resources that have been written in Romanian or translated into Romanian. But then there are other times that whole subjects are it's really difficult to find anything in Romanian. And this is especially true for anything written from a Wesleyan holiness perspective. So the second way I want to highlight that you're giving to the World Evangelism Fund is making a difference in Romania, is by providing funds for literature translation. In the past couple years, we've been spending a lot of our time translating and publishing what we call Nazarene identity documents. It's important for our people to know what we believe and what we practice as Nazarenes. Oftentimes, people come from other church backgrounds. They might not have gone to church in other traditions, but they know about other churches. The Orthodox Church, which is the most prevalent in the country, says that you need to fast certain days. You need to observe certain holidays dedicated to specific saints. The Seventh-day Adventists are a large church in Romania, and they teach that you go to church on Saturdays, not on Sundays. You have to follow certain restrictions, including you can't eat pork, which is a really big part of the Romanian diet. The Pentecostals in Romania are very conservative. The women dress kind of like Mennonites around here, with their heads covered with long dresses and skirts. And all of these churches and others teach that women cannot preach or be ordained. And so these are just a few of the reasons why we need resources in Romanian that teach our people what we believe and practice and why that's different from these other churches, while at the same time being respectful to our brothers and sisters from these other traditions. Just over a year ago, the Board of General Superintendents came out with this special edition of Holiness Today called Nazarene Essentials. It outlines who we are and what we believe, and they gave this, and they asked that all of the language groups all around the world where we have Nazarene churches, that it be translated. So we got to work in Romania, and we had ours published last year in time for district assembly. And so we've distributed this to all of our members, and we have them in our churches for people to take and learn about our church. Here's just a few of the languages that it has been translated into on the Eurasia region. Another project that we just finished this summer, as we've been working on for a really long time, has been the translation of the Church of the Nazarenes manual. For the last 2 years, I've had the experience of reading this from cover to cover in two languages at least 4 times, working on editing and proofreading. I can tell you from personal experience, this is not an interesting book. But like the dictionary, it's not meant to be read from cover to cover. It's meant to be consulted when you need it. And we need the manual in Romanian for our pastors and other church leaders to have access to help our church to develop in healthy ways, consistent with the rest of the denomination. Without the manual instructing us on things like how to hold church elections, some people might think that the pastor picks his friends to be on the church board or go to district assembly, or without the manual outlining the process toward ordination and the responsibilities of a pastor, some people might think that as long as they have a call to preach the next day, they should be given a church and have no accountability to anyone. So we can point to the manual and say, we're glad you're called, but this is the process the church works with you, and this is how it works in our church. Now, there's also a lot in the manual that doesn't apply to our 3 small churches in Romania, much less to every church member that attends them. So what we did was we took the parts that talk about what we believe, like the articles of faith and the agreed statement of belief, and the parts that talk about how we live, the covenants of Christian character and Christian conduct, and we published them in a smaller book, a lot thinner, bigger print, a lot easier to read. And the title of this in Romanian is A Living Faith, which has the connotation of this isn't just what we believe, but it's how we live out our faith in everyday life. So we gave this to all of our church members, and like Nazarene Essentials, we have it in our churches for people to take with them and to read. Because you give to the World Evangelism Fund, we can pay translators and proofreaders and editors and pay for printing costs for projects like the manual and Nazarene Essentials. Mulțumesc. Now that the manual project is finished, we can move on to other translation projects. You may remember that 10 or 11 years ago, NMI was raising funds for a special project called Books for Pastors. This has been used all around the world to buy books for pastors' libraries and translate books that aren't available. And we've started that in Romania. We've translated some books. We've bought some books for our pastors. But we still have some of that money left. And so this next year, we will be moving ahead with the next book that's on our list to translate and to publish. And we're working on making connections with Christian bookstores so we can sell these resources as we make them available. Because you give to the World Evangelism Fund, there's a staff that works from the Global Ministry Center in Kansas and the Eurasia Regional Office in Germany that helps us in this translation literature process. They do all of the administrative work for us, do all the legal stuff, obtaining copyright permission and all of that so that we can translate and publish it in Romanian. Because you gave to the Books for Pastors project, we are now able to start providing quality Wesleyan Holiness resources for our pastors and students in Romanian. Mulțumesc. Thank you. Now, there's many other ways beyond the World Evangelism Fund that you are making a difference in Romania. One of those is through your giving to Alabaster. Nazarene churches all around the world, including our 3 churches in Romania, collect alabaster offerings twice every year. This is used, as I'm sure you already know, specifically for the purchase of properties and the construction of buildings. In Romania, all 3 of our church buildings have been purchased or built using alabaster funds. In Sighișoara, we're just finishing a construction project that's gone on the last couple years. The Sighișoara Church is the one on the bottom left. It was purchased about 20 years ago, and it's been added on to and modified here and there over the years, but we never had an actual real proper kitchen. On the back corner of the property, there were these 2 buildings and two rooms, really poorly constructed buildings. One of them had a sink, though. So we put an oven in there and a refrigerator, and we called it a kitchen. It was not. Those of you who've been there know it was not. So they tore down those buildings a couple years ago, and in its place, they have built this nice two-story building. Inside, there is a kitchen with cabinets and everything. It's wonderful. It's being used a lot. 4 mornings a week, they use it. And this is the fellowship hall that connects to the kitchen. There's a group of senior adults that meet there and pray together, encourage one another over a cup of tea or coffee. The elderly are very isolated in Sugishwara, and this is a ministry the church has had for many years. And now they have this new place for them to meet in. Above the fellowship hall is a room that will be transformed into a youth room very soon. And next to that is the pastor's new study. There's also new restrooms that are there that are much nicer than the ones we had before. Those of you who were there, you know what they were like. Thank you for giving to Alabaster. You have helped to build and purchase and renovate and build onto all of our church buildings in Romania. Mulțumesc. Thank you. Now I want to talk about another way that your generosity is making a difference, and that is through your giving to Nazarene Compassionate Ministries. I don't know about you, but I'm glad to be part of a church that puts our faith into practice by sharing, by caring for the world around us. Right now, Europe is facing an unprecedented situation. The war in Syria has been going on for over 5 years, and it has forced many people to flee from their homes. You've probably seen these pictures already on the news. Whole communities, whole cities have been destroyed. Thousands and thousands have fled, first to neighboring countries of Lebanon and Jordan, where Nazarenes have been caring for the refugees since the beginning of the war. But then later on to Turkey, across the sea, and into Greece, and then into Western Europe. For the past year, Nazarenes in Central Europe have been volunteering in the refugee camps in Serbia and Croatia and Macedonia and now down in Greece. These started out as transit camps where hundreds, if not 1,000 people, would come through every day. Nazarenes would be there to help distribute food and water and blankets and shoes. They were walking 10, 12, 15 hours a day with just the things that they could carry in their backpacks. But then in February, the borders into Western European countries closed. The people who had started out on the journey could go no further, and yet they couldn't go back because they had nothing left to go back to. We've prayed. You've prayed, I'm sure, over the years for people in the Middle East and other parts of the 1040 window where it is hard to spread the gospel, where it's nearly impossible to send missionaries. Well, now these people are coming to us, and we have the opportunity, like never before, to share Christ's love with them. You hear the word refugee on the news. You hear it in the presidential debates. It's very impersonal. It doesn't give a realistic version of who they are and what they've experienced. Here are some of their pictures and some of their stories that Nazarenes have passed on after meeting with them. Let me share a few of their stories. One little girl lives in a refugee camp in Greece with her dad. Her mom had left Syria before them to go to find a place for them to settle. That was a common practice that one family member would kind of scout out and find a place, a home, a job, and then tell the rest of the family to join them. Mom found a job. She told dad and the daughters to come, and they set out on their journey. But then the borders closed. They have been living in tents since the spring, and they have no idea when they will be united with the rest of their family in the Netherlands. A Nazarene volunteer asked one woman what she used to like to do in her spare time in Syria. The woman said that she used to like to play tennis. But she stopped because one day she was coming home from playing tennis. She had her tennis racket over her shoulder in its case. And she was shot at by snipers who thought it was a machine gun. Just a couple days later, the tennis court where she had played so often was destroyed when a bomb went off. One young man, he's that military age, young single guy that everyone's so scared of. He sleeps on a park bench in Serbia, hasn't showered or shaved in days. He had to swallow his pride to ask a Nazarene missionary woman if she had any clean underwear that he could wear. He used to be a top medical student in Aleppo before his university was destroyed. When he makes it to Western Europe, he wants to continue his education so he can save lives. One family had just enough money to send one of their sons away from Syria. It costs a lot of money, and people take advantage of the refugees. They charge just extraordinary prices. While this young man was in a refugee camp, he got the devastating news from back home that his brother, the one who remained, that his family couldn't send away, had been killed by ISIS. These are the people that Nazarenes in Central Europe are interacting with on a daily basis. Thank you for supporting them through your prayers and through giving to NCM's Refugee Fund. Now, the refugee response in Central Europe is really just one of many ways that Nazarenes around the world are providing aid. I'm sure you've also given special offerings after hurricanes or tsunamis or earthquakes. You'll be hearing more in the coming days about how to help after Hurricane Matthew came through and how that will be used in Haiti. You've probably helped to make crisis care kits that are used and distributed at these times as well. I say thank you for your support. These are all examples of how NCM provides short-term aid. But there's another side to NCM as well, the side that provides long-term change. Aid gives a man a fish because he needs to eat that day. But development teaches the man how to fish so that he can provide for himself and for his family so he doesn't become dependent on our handouts. Now, over the years, we've received a lot of aid in Romania, especially in the years following the fall of communism. But our focus is now mostly on development. And we're doing that in a variety of different ways. I don't have time to mention all of it, but let me highlight a few of the ways that's happening in the village of Tsigmondru. Because this is really just an excellent example of how NCM is partnering with a local church. Tsigmondru is a small village, but it has a lot of really big problems. And the root of those problems go back to the people are uneducated. They don't have job skills. They lack jobs. They find day jobs lots of times, going out into the fields, planting or harvesting crops. At this time of the year, they go out into the forest and spend all day collecting bags of walnuts that they can sell. Many people, not only from Tsigmondru, but from other parts of Romania, will go to Western Europe, to Germany or Italy, to work for several months at a time and send that money home to loved ones. And then they'll come back and live off of that for the next several months until it's time to go back and work again. Because people don't have jobs, there's a lot of alcohol abuse, a lot of domestic violence. Just over a year ago, NCM gave the church in Tsigmondru a grant to start a wood shop. An American volunteer with carpentry experience came and set it up, and over the next few months, trained three Romanian men. Here's a picture of the wood shop that's set up now. They completed the paperwork, and this is now an actual business, and these men are employees, part-time at the moment, but they're learning. And over this past year that they've kind of been interns in this, apprentices in this project, they've made several very nice things, including cabinets for the church kitchen in Tsigmondru and bookshelves for for different things, but one of those is in the library in Sigishwara. They've also been making these boxes that they sell to a wood carver who has a souvenir shop, and he carves them and then sells them to tourists. Aren't they just amazing masterpieces? I wanted to bring some home to have and to show, but they're just too expensive, so I didn't do that. The idea with the carpentry shop is to provide jobs and to provide some stability, to help families to stay in Sigmundur, not to be separated, to help give income and quality of life, and to be training even more people in the near future in these skills, and hopefully to be making an impact in Sigmundur. Thank you, Mutsumesk, for giving to NCM, which made this grant possible. Now, even before the wood shop opened, the women in the church had a sewing workshop. The pastor of the church used to be a seamstress, and she has taught many of the women in the village how to sew. And some of these women have gone on. Now they have job skills. They can get jobs in the sewing factories. Some of them continue to work and make things in the church, and they make a variety of different things. But the most popular are these dolls that are dressed in traditional Romanian outfits. When you came in, you probably passed the table I have out in the foyer with several of these dolls for sale. If you purchase these dolls, all of the money goes back to Sigmundur, to the church, and to pay the women so they can support their families. On behalf of the women in Sigmundur, I say mulțumesc. I thought I'd also mention that on the table back there are some other things that have been made in Romania, including some pens that have been made from wood by one of the men who works in the carpentry shop. I've told you about the men, I've told you about the women. Let me tell you just a little bit about the children in Sigmundur. The kids in Sigmundur face a lot of challenges. Life isn't easy for them either. Because their parents didn't finish school, education really isn't valued in their families. Parents don't always send their kids to school. If the kids miss school, they fall behind, and then it's easy for them to drop out later. At this time of year, it's much easier for teenagers to go into the forests and help collect walnuts and provide some financial means for their family than to go to school. And girls often start having children of their own at the age of 15 or 14. Some even 13. For the last several years, the church in Sigmundur, every Tuesday and Friday afternoon, has had a children's program. They have a Bible lesson and singing and games. They have crafts. And then all of this is followed up with a meal. On Fridays, they have a hot meal of soup and bread. And on Tuesdays, a healthy sandwich. We just turned in a proposal to NCM that would start child sponsorship, Nazarene child sponsorship in Sigmundur. When approved, we will start to receive sponsorship funds to expand the children's program. We hope to double the meals that we serve for the kids from what they currently serve. We want to start to help pay for bus tickets. The school in Sigmundur goes up to 8th grade, so teenagers who want to go to high school have to take the bus into Sigishwara to go to school, but they have to pay for the bus. And many of them come from families where they just don't have money to do that. So they have no choice. They have no options but to drop out of school. We want to start after-school tutoring for the younger kids, focusing on literacy so they don't fall behind and later drop out. We want to train teenagers in the carpentry and sewing workshops and other projects of the church to help them to learn responsibility and job skills for their future. Some of you already sponsor children, I'm sure, through Nazarene Compassionate Ministries. If you don't, I encourage you to consider sponsoring a child from Romania or anywhere else. That's fine, too. If you would like, I do have some brochures about Nazarene child sponsorship in the back at the table in the foyer. However, if you would like a child from Romania, from Sigmundur, pay attention. since we just turned in that proposal to NCM, our children are not yet in the system yet. So I made up these response cards. You can give me your name and email address. Check the box that says you're interested in sponsoring a child. There's no obligation or anything. All it will do is I'll add you to my mailing list. So when I get back to Romania, it'll probably be right after Christmas, probably in January, that the children will get in the database and will be approved and will be available for sponsorship. So by signing up for this, it's just to be on the mailing list to be informed when they're available. So whether you sponsor a child or want more information, I say mulțumesc. Thank you for making a difference in a child's life. Now, there's another way that you have made a difference in Romania through your giving, and that is when I've come here and shared breakfast with you, in those times you've taken an offering and you've sent it to help support me in my ministry there. If you've been part of the Church of the Nazarene for any amount of time, you know that in the past, the World Evangelism Fund was able to fund all of our missionaries. But for the last 5 or 10 years, that hasn't been possible. So with giving down and expenses continuing to rise, our denominational leaders have had the choice of, do we send fewer missionaries and continue to pay them all, or do we send more missionaries but require them to, some of them, to raise their own funds? So for the last 7 years that I've been in Romania, I've had to raise my own funds, which now comes to about $25,000 a year. That covers my salary and taxes and things like housing and transportation and car repairs and all of that stuff. But just because I have to raise my own support doesn't mean that your giving to the World Evangelism Fund does not impact... Wait, let me say that there's too many negatives in that. Just because I have to raise my funds doesn't mean your giving to the World Evangelism Fund does not impact me, because it does. And let me share some of those ways. First of all, the World Evangelism Fund provides my health insurance. If not, I'd have to raise a lot more money because healthcare is expensive. There's a lot of other ways that it impacts me in indirect ways. And I want to share these as well because I think this is important for you to hear as well. I have friends who are missionaries with other organizations, non-Nazarene organizations. And we eventually get to talking and sharing stories about how our organizations work and how we fundraise and all of that. And what I've come to learn from my friends is that they have to raise a lot of money, many of them, but only part of that money actually gets to them. That's because they're raising funds also for their sending organization to operate. They're raising funds for all the ministries in the country that they're involved in. But this is not the case in the Church of the Nazarene. Yes, I have to raise my own support, but because you give to the World Evangelism Fund, there's a staff that works at the Global Ministry Center in Kansas and the Eurasia Regional Office in Germany that take care of all of the administrative parts of our denominational structure. They process the checks and they don't take anything out until it gets to Romania for me to get. So I get all of what's given to support me. Because you give to the World Evangelism Fund, ministries in Romania, like literature development and theological education, are funded. I don't need to be raising money for ministry to happen in Romania. So again, I say mulțumesc. Thank you for giving to the World Evangelism Fund, and thank you for supporting me. There are many other things I would love to say thank you for. Time doesn't allow that. Thank you for sending Work and Witness teams and coming to Romania, being part of it firsthand. Thank you for supporting missionaries, not just in Romania, but around the world in prayer. Thank you for supporting your links missionaries and writing to them. As a reminder to pray, I do have prayer cards for you. They're on the back table with the dolls. You can take one of those, put it in your refrigerator, in your Bible, wherever it's a reminder to pray for the Church of the Nazarene in Romania. And on the back, there are some specific ministries that you can be praying for. I also have giving information there in case you'd like to make a recurring gift. And I have my contact information there as well. You can, if you want to receive my newsletter, on the response card I mentioned earlier, you can give me your name and email address and mark the box that you'd like to get my newsletters. I also have a Facebook page and a website, and all of that information is on the card. In the back table, I also have a printed version of my newsletter. Feel free to take that. And, I forgot to mention earlier that I have, on the back table, I have English copies of Nazarene Essentials, if you haven't seen that. Feel free to help yourself to an English copy. Don't take the Romanian, that's mine. You probably can't read it anyway. I do my best to stay connected with you because I'm not here just one time. It's not just a one-time thing. I'm here today to say thank you for all of the ways that you are making a difference in Romania. I want to stay connected with you to let you know how your prayers are continuing to be answered and what is continuing to happen there. In our last couple of minutes together, let us turn back to 1 Corinthians 12. The words that the Apostle Paul wrote so many centuries ago continue to speak to us about the diverse ways that we serve and yet remain connected, remain united as interconnected members of the same body. If I were to paraphrase Paul's words at the end of the chapter in verses 28 to 31, he might say something like this to us today. He might say, God has appointed in the church missionaries and pastors and teachers of theological education, and also those who translate literature and those who construct church buildings. And he's also appointed those who fervently pray, who generously give, and who encourage the saints. He would go on to say, not everyone is a missionary or a pastor or a teacher. Not everyone has the skills for construction or for translation. Not everyone has money to give, and not everyone writes notes of encouragement. But he would add, but do what you can to build up the body of Christ. Paul emphasizes here and in the following chapters that what's important is that we find our way to serve in love in our various situations, and that we are using our gifts that we have been given to support Christ's body, the church. So I would like to close by once more saying to you, Mulțumesc. Thank you for all that you are doing to support the work of the Church of the Nazarene in Romania and around the world.